What is up, flock and friends? Welcome to another bonus episode of Talking Flock, your Flamingo podcast. It is I, your host, Rob Chappell, and joining us today, very excited about meeting this guy, the newest of the Mingos, Pierre Da Silva. How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for having me here tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for being here, man. I really appreciate it. I know it's heart of the season. It's busy, and we always appreciate it when you guys give us a few minutes and let our folks get to know you a little bit. Just kind of introduce yourself. You're obviously the just been here a couple of weeks. Give us the quick pitch where you come from and how you got where you are today.
Well, yeah. Well, my name is Pierre Da Silva. I'm from New York, born and raised in New York, Port Chester, New York. I'm 25 years old and been playing since I was 16. So,
yeah. Wow, that's awesome. So you mentioned Port Chester, New York. For those, I did look it up. It's right on the border of Connecticut, right?
Yes.
And so for those of us who lived here in the Midwest our whole lives, what's your relationship in Port Chester to like New York City? Do you consider yourself like New Yorker, or are you like suburbs, or you're like distant from New York City, or what's the relationship there?
I mean, I'm 30 minutes away from the city, so
okay.
I don't feel that I'm that far, you know.
No. And growing up, are you like where do your sports fandoms growing up? Are you like Giants and Yankees, yeah, or what?
Yeah, where my area is more Yankees.
Yeah.
Fans, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And who are you? Were you a soccer fan as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up playing soccer since I was like probably 3 years old when I started walking, you know, so I've always been a soccer fan, always.
Yeah. So who'd you watch growing up?
R9, Brazilian Ronaldo, Robinho. Okay. Grew up a lot with like watching Ronaldinho play back in the day.
The Brazilians. No, you're is it your dad is Brazilian?
Yeah, my dad's Brazilian, my mom's from Peru.
Okay, cool. And how did they land in New York?
My dad came to this country for a better living, and meeting my mom that was in New York from Peru, and that's how I came to this world.
Cool. Now, are they soccer people? You just come from like a soccer family, or did you just pick it up?
Yeah, they're soccer people. Like they,
I guess,
breed soccer. Like, I mean, yeah, so that's what South Americans are, to be honest.
So how tickled are they that you're doing this now?
Yeah, I mean, they're very proud, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. So you grew up playing in Port Chester, and from like you said, from a very young age. As many kids do, like lots of kids start playing soccer, and very few end up where you are now. So at what point in your life do you realize, oh, I could do this for real? Like, I'm actually pretty good at this.
So I moved from New York to Brazil when I was 9 years old, 10 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I played for Santos FC.
Wow. Academy. That is not on your Wikipedia.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we should add that. So you, how long were you there?
Until U15, and then I came back here.
Oh, wow.
And I did my freshman year back in New York in my hometown.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I ended up going to residency in IMG, where the U.S. national team had like a program going on over there, like for 2 years for the U17s. Mm-hmm. And after the U17 World Cup, I ended up signing for Orlando, my first professional deal. Mm-hmm.
We should mention, we don't want to breeze over that U17 World Cup. You were on that squad, the U17 United States squad. What was that experience like?
Oh, it's amazing. It's a one-time, lifetime experience.
Yeah. Really
nice. Yeah.
So your sort of most formative years as a footballer were in Brazil with Santos. How can you talk a little bit about that experience and what that taught you that maybe playing somewhere else wouldn't have?
Yeah, I mean,
for that really important youth period.
Yeah, right? The youth over there is way different than here.
Yeah, how so?
I mean, since U11, when I was there, all the way to U15, and all the way to the professional team, there's a roster. So like, if you train well and like on a Friday, if your name's not on that roster, you're not going to the game on Saturday. So it starts as a young age, like as 11. So there's no like everyone's gonna get playing time. No, it's like whoever plays, you know. So I've been growing up like that since I was 11. Like, so they built that in your mind, you know.
They just got, kind of always got to be fighting for your spot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I don't know if that. It sounds really cool. I would have disturbed me as a kid. Like, I would not have withstood that pressure.
It's tough because you see kids crying, you know, like coming out of the locker room because they didn't make the game for the.
Yeah. Wow. And so, how many kids are on the, like, how many kids are in the club, and then how many make the roster on the weekend?
There's probably like 25 that make.
Okay. So it's like a pro club. It's like 25 guys, and it's just only a certain number of directs address.
Yeah, he make the cut, but then at the end of the year, only a couple go to U15. You know,
mm-hmm.
like out of like 25, maybe 15 make it to the U15. The rest get cut off.
Wow,
and it keeps going until you.
That's brutal. I mean, it obviously prepares you as a if you want to be a professional, like that's how it's going to be, right? That's how it's going to be in your professional life, right? But that's still a lot of pressure on a kid. So then you get back to the United States, you go to IMG, you sign with Orlando, and then you played, you know, USL level. You played, I think you were actually in a pro club in Brazil for a year.
Yeah,
I was right on loan from Orlando.
Yeah,
right. What's the just from a? Obviously, we know. If I asked you, what's the coolest city you've ever played in? Obviously, Madison, right? Obviously, but what's the second coolest city you played in all your travels?
Second coolest, I would say. I mean, I'll say Brazil. Brazil is really the city that I was in. Brazil is really nice.
Yeah, what city was that?
It was Curitiba.
Uh huh. And where's that in Brazil?
Out the south of Brazil, more towards like Argentina.
Okay.
Really nice city. Awesome.
Yeah. now you remind me, you were with Memphis for a bit. You were with Miami. You were with Miami most recently, right? Miami FC.
Yeah, I was there 21 and 22.
Uh huh. And now you're here. And for us, you know, for us that are watching, you just appear one day. You know, there's a tweet, and oh, there's a new guy on our team. But obviously, there's more to that process. Can you walk us through what that process was? I mean, obviously, you had been training with the club for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. At
that point. And when do you get a call from an agent or from Matt, or how does that all work?
So I had surgery in Miami in July, Miami FC last season in July.
Uh huh.
Ended up coming back healthy, playing, getting rostered for the last playoff game, played the last season game, fine, mm-hmm. came to off season, and my knee ended up buckling again.
Oh, no.
So I had to get another surgery in December.
Oh, that's rough.
On the same spot. So I've been, like, from, say, from January all the way to, like, May doing rehab.
Wow.
Getting myself back, you know, and then finally got a chance to be with a team, and Madison was the first team that offered me to come in to train, and I took it, and I ended up staying. So
how long were you here before you were officially signed or announced or rostered?
So I came in on a Tuesday when they were playing Richmond on a Saturday.
Okay.
So I trained, I came on a Tuesday, but I came late. So I ended up training Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I was already signed by like Sunday. Like Monday, I was already coming into town on Madison Monday.
Oh, wow. Now, there's another podcast. I don't know if you've heard, New Dog Magazine does a podcast, and they talk with John Pascarella. And the way he described you was you got a lot of versatility. And you can kind of play those wingback positions and kind of attacking midfield, but also have some goals in you. That's the way he described you. How do you describe what you bring to the club, and you know, what do you bring when you come on the field?
I would say I'm more like an assist guy, you know, like I like to create for the team. I like to like create chances, and I'm more of a more like, just tap it in type of guy, you know, like just leave.
So. So we're not going to see 30-yard bangers from you?
Huh?
We're not going to see 30-yard bangers from you?
It can happen.
All right. Well, watch for it, but it's going to be more a tap in or an assist is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I guess before, obviously you've been played at the championship level and other places, but did you have any awareness of Ford Madison before they called obviously the soccer world is a small world. So you probably knew some of the guys on the squad
I knew about the team. I knew about like the atmosphere here, like how good it is, like compared to like way more better than some championship teams, you know?
All right.
I mean, I played against a couple guys on the team, so mm-hmm. I know a couple guys too.
Yeah, and what's the obviously you come in at a time when we I think you've been in here for three games so far. I think I want to say it's a one win and two losses. How do you approach this week now? We've lost two in a row, two that we probably didn't have to lose. Or that this weren't very good performances. What's your mentality now? And what's your mentality yourself? But also, what's the mood like in training now today and this week?
The mood in training has been good. Like the guys are really good. You know, like the locker room is really good. So we just have to put this loss behind us and just keep moving forward. You know, we have like 9 games left. So
yeah.
There's no time to look back, you know, like we just have to keep going forward, like, and keep winning games and get that clinching spot, you know.
Now you've come in as a substitute all three times so far. This last game you had more time than previous. Are you comfortable with that role as a sort of a super sub and bringing fresh legs on late in the match?
No, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm obviously just coming back too from injuries, so sure. I understand like the coach's decisions, and obviously they're looking out for me too, you know, like how I feel, how my body feels. So,
and how does your body? I mean, isn't he holding up right now?
It's good. I mean, I feel good. Like I got 30 something minutes the last game. So mm-hmm. Hopefully next game I can get a little bit more, you know, and keep adding on.
Now you also, this squad in Madison here is more experienced than we've had in the past. It's still pretty young, but there's a lot of experience on this roster, and you obviously bring a lot of experience as well. How is it coming into a squad that has a lot of guys who've got a lot of years under their belt, all coming from different directions and having to like cohere into a single unit? You know what I mean? Like, and that they've been doing this for a couple months now, and you're just kind of adding in. How's that been trying to like integrate yourself just into the group?
I mean, it's good. Like I said, like, we have a good group of guys, you know, like we have good leaders. We have like guys that make you feel like you're part of the family, you know?
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So we have great leaders and.
What makes a great leader? Who are those leaders? I think I know Mitch Osmond is obviously the captain. Chaney's obviously a vocal guy. Who are the leaders that you're looking to, and what is it that makes a good leader on a soccer team?
I mean, a good leader is the one that's always like just sees how you're feeling on the field and obviously off the pitch too. You know, like off the pitch stuff is obviously important as well to a player. You know, so. Mm-hmm. Just making sure you're feeling good. Like if you feel yourself, you know, for training, for a game, for everything. And like, there's a lot of good guys that reach out, like to see if you're doing well and stuff like that in the team. So like Steve, them like Zemo, mm-hmm. they're older guys, you know, so
yeah,
they have experience. They've been around the game.
But they're checking up on you individually as a person, right? Not just yelling and screaming on the field, but they're like checking with you off the field after training, making sure all is good and you're feeling okay. Have you gotten much of a chance to experience Madison yet?
Not yet, because I've just moved into this apartment like last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'm downtown. So now slowly I'll start exploring a little bit more for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Well, folks, if you have any, what kind of food do you like? We can solicit some recommendations for you.
To be honest, I like everything. I mean, I like Asian food, I like sushi, some ramen. I actually saw there's some Peruvian restaurants out here, to be honest.
There are. There's at least one Brazilian one that I can think of. There's a couple of Peruvians, and there's a great ramen spot right downtown. It's called Morris Ramen. Look it up. It's great. And the co-owner is a massive Madison fan and is at most of the games. So you got to do her a solid and get some ramen down there. All right, folks. Tweet at Pierre. Tell him your food recommendations. Pierre Da Silva, welcome to Madison. We're really happy you're here. And best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.